the date. So we're talking about the first date, and we said that a key factor, in my opinion, is to start the date with greeting her warmly. Don't show up late to date. It's not right. Why should she sit there waiting for you? So if that means you don't know when the bus is coming, so give yourself leeway, give yourself time. So you'll wait 5 minutes, big deal. It's better to come early than to come late. You show up to the date, and the girl shows up.
Rough.
Yeah. Doesn't matter, anything.
No, you need to know.
Whatever people like, please. I like them all. Sure, doesn't matter. No, I like them all. So we got humor tonight. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, what are we doing on a date? What are we doing? We're looking to find out who this person is. So very often, people's first dates could look like a job interview. But what do you think about this? And what about that? And it's a question-answer session. That stinks. You could, if you're the one asking the question, it stinks. If you're the one getting asked the question, it stinks. So don't do that. Let the conversation flow. Don't be nervous about having silent moments. People think if it's quiet, then they get nervous. Then they have to say something. Be quiet. You have nothing to say. Don't say anything. If you'll be quiet another few seconds, then one of you will get the conversation rolling the way friends do. If you're nervous, hey, I'm on a date. It's quiet. Then you kill the date. Then you start asking stupid questions. What did you say your mother does? And how many siblings did you say you have? What did you say you did last year? Come on. Let the date flow. Even with your friends, you can't talk for 2 hours straight. So take it easy.
Well, you weren't there last night.
How much is in your bank account?
None of that, right?
If you think, if that's what interests you, so ask.
Well, it's rather, it's important.
Don't forget to listen. You want to know a lot about them. You want them to know about you. But listen. Listen. The more you listen, the more you know. Now, let's say you want to know how honest the person is. So you could ask them, what's your opinion about honesty? And the person could give you a whole lecture. Honesty is the most fundamental thing of any relationship. Honesty is the most basic thing you could have. And great, they gave you a whole lecture. But do you know how honest they are? You don't know. So if you want to know how honest they are, you listen. And you talk. Not about honesty. You talk about what happens when you show up to your job late. You said your boss is a very strict guy. What do you do then? And she tells you about how she sneaks in through the back door and she has a friend punching her card for her and this and that. Oh, now you know how honest she really is. You want to know what a person is, schmooze with them. Talk about the world. Talk about how their life is, how they get along with their siblings, what their siblings are doing, what they did in their vacation. From the stories you discuss, you'll start getting a picture of who the person is. From talking directly about topics, you rarely get an accurate picture. You get what they think they should lecture, how they think they should discuss the topic, what they ideally think is true about that topic. But if you want to know who they are, so listen. Listen to who they are. And talk. Let the conversations flow. Now, if you instinctively always float to a certain topic, there's a girl who was, what was it, something in neuroscience. She studied the chemicals of the brain and what happens every time a person gets excited and sleeps and this and that. And I am be fascinated by the topic. I can imagine guys going like that. I can imagine like any other guy would be bored stiff. I never dated her. She's a wife of a friend of mine, but we had her for a Shabbos meal. And I was fascinated. I'm curious by that. But if you're a guy who's interested in computers or politics or sports, don't let the conversation keep going back to that. Talk about everything. Talk. So one of the major mistakes, in my opinion, that people do when they start dating is they plan conversations. They think we're going to talk about this. And if we have nothing to talk about, talk about that. And they spend a lot of time thinking, what are we going to talk about? I don't believe that they spend a lot of time thinking about that, because conversations never run the way you think they will. It doesn't hurt if you think, oh, this might be an interesting point to raise, or that, to keep them in the back of your mind. You have two or three things, and maybe some point in the date you'll bring it up. But just think you're going to plan out a conversation, I certainly hope you can't do that. Because a real conversation flows on its own. We'll get that in a second. Not everything is her business. Just because a girl asks you a question doesn't mean she's entitled to an answer.
We're always talking about the first date here.
No.
No?
This is always true. If she asks you how much money you have in your bank account, you don't have to answer.
Well, okay, good.
But you have to say it goes the other way, too.
Because I don't have much to say.
28 cents.
Hold on.
I got something in there. I'll just tell you that.
I have this plus 35 cents.
I have this plus.
What's your basis worth?
A bit more.
This
is before
one,
after this drink that you're having.
How much is that drink you ordered?
Oh, now I'm worth.
Okay.
The way the dates usually go is the first date, second date, third date. The first few dates, find out about the person's background, where they've been, what they've done, and you talk philosophy. Usually that's the way it goes. You want to see what the person's aspirations and what their philosophies in life are. I always tell guys that there are people who break up over which seminary they're going to send their third daughter to. You can't plan life. I believe that life is, married life is like two people climbing up a mountain. And that each one has a leg tied to the other one. And now they have to climb up this mountain together when one foot is tied to, each one has a foot tied to the other one. So one foot is free and one foot is tied. And that means they have to coordinate. Now, what's the trick here? That imagine two people climbing a mountain like this and there are boulders falling. Sometimes smaller rocks, sometimes bigger rocks. If they both jump in the same direction, then they're fine. The boulders won't run them over. If they both jump the other way, they're also fine. The problems are when one wants to jump this way and one wants to jump that way. Then they might get mowed over. That's life. Life is a climb. And when you're married, you're climbing it together with someone. And you don't know what's going to happen in life. You don't know what obstacles you're going to face. You don't know what challenges are going to come up. And there's no way of knowing and foreseeing what's going to be. So how do you, on a date, try to figure out what's happening if you match? So you speak about what value you give different issues. You speak about what your aspirations are. And remember, to discern between your aspirations and who you really are. If you have the same aspirations, you've discussed your aspirations, and in life you're always going to have to forego one thing for the other, then when you run into those boulders that come down, you'll both be pretty much in agreement which way you're jumping, what's going to give for what. That's what you're trying to find out on a date. Are our values identical? So let's give an example. If you get married, and you have a seder in which you go to Daf Yomi every night. That's what you learn every night. Every night you go to Daf Yomi. And there happens to be a very, very important protest because they want to give this land away, or a protest for Pollard, and you also feel that's very important. So you could say, gee, they're both very important, but which is more important? So that might be something you want to talk about. If she says, you know, it's very hard every night you're away learning, I want more time with you. So that's something to talk about. I'm a big believer in dates to discuss stories. Make up stories. Discuss things you've seen in other people's homes. Very often that's the best way to present a topic. For example, one of my concerns when I was dating was I didn't want to marry a mashgiach. Me personally, I happen to be a very liberal guy. I didn't want a woman who's going to wake me up in the morning and say, time for minyan. I didn't want a woman who's going to look at me after the meal and say, did you bench yet? I didn't want that. I didn't want to be responsible for her spiritual world. She shouldn't be responsible for mine. We aspired together. I'm not looking for it. That was my thing. That was one thing that was important for me. We're aspiring together, but neither one is going to breathe down the other one's back. So I'm not saying that should be important for you, but there are guys who say the other way around. I had a guy who told me, no, she's not going to kick me out of bed. I'll never get the shul. So I need a wife who's going to kick me out of bed. Okay, kochavut, that's what fits for him. Just telling me that was something that was important for me. So how did I find out what the girl wanted? So I could come and ask her, or I could tell her a story that a girl told me. A girl told me on a date the following story. She said a friend of hers was davening Shmoneh Esrei when someone knocked at the door. And she went to answer the door. And after she spoke to the person at the door, so her husband started yelling at her, "You're in the middle of davening, how are you going to answer the door? How do you stop your davening and go and answer the door in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei?" Halachically,
you can back up 3 steps.
So halachically, you can't back up 3 steps. If you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, you cannot answer a door. No.
Not for a door, but
how do you explain
Wait a second. Wait. Guys, give me a second. One second.
Sorry, middle of the story.
The truth is that what happened was she finished Shmoneh Esrei, and her husband didn't see that she finished Shmoneh Esrei. But the girl presented this to me. She said, "What do you think is a husband's obligations for his wife's spiritual level?" She told me this story, and she said, "How do you see what your obligations as a husband are for my spiritual level?" This husband saw her do something that he perceived as wrong. He didn't see correctly, but he perceived her doing something wrong. What do you think a husband should do when he sees that? So I don't like asking questions like that, because you're really like, this is a test scenario. I want to hear your answer. That's not nice. I preferred asking questions more like this. This was something I thought about a lot. I would tell a girl, "Look, on the one hand, I feel like a wife works all week very, very hard, and everyone should help her on Shabbos. She's bringing the food to the table. She made the food. She prepared the house. She did so many things. Comes Shabbos, she has to run around and bring all the food to the table, take off the table, clean the dishes, do everything, and the father has to have the kids do that. On the other hand, as much as I think I should be helping my wife, I think one of my responsibilities as a father is at the Shabbos table to speak to each child and give them the attention they need and discuss with them what their week was like and what they learned, and that's my responsibility to them as a father. And I'm not sure how to rectify these two things, because I think I owe to my wife to help her and to have the kids help her. And on the other hand, I think I have an obligation to the kids, which is also important, and I don't know how to balance the two. I'm not sure which way to do it. I would tell a girl this.
Is this on your first date?
Somewhere along the dates. Somewhere along the dates I'd mention this, because I want to hear what she says. So you understand I gave legitimacy to everything here. There's no one-sided answer here. Whatever she says, I gave legitimacy to. I want to hear what she says. How does she perceive a Shabbos table? You know, that there's an old joke that a guy asks a girl, "How do you imagine your Shabbos table? What do you imagine your Shabbos table looking like?" And she answers, "Without you."
Whoa, man.
So I'm just
without you.
Without you.
It's a joke.
Yeah, but I'm mentioning the joke because I don't think that's enough. And I don't think you should ask the question that way. You have a specific question, talk about it. So I had a specific point which I thought will reflect a lot on her, how she answers that.
You just need to ask a general question, like, how do you envision
your Shabbos show?
How would you answer that question?
White thing, people sitting around, singing.
A lot of guests.
White thing?
A lot of guests.
Okay, so that's another issue I would raise with a girl. Again, this is what interests me. I'll tell her, look, on one end, I think it's very important that people should share their Shabbos table with other people. And it's important to have guests. On the other end, the kids need the Shabbos table. They need their parents. And when you have guests, bottom line, there's an aspect where the kids aren't getting as much as they need.
No attention.
Not only attention. It's a lot of things. It's attention. It's chinuch. It's what they need at a Shabbos table. So they also have to see you taking in guests.
But not just education. It has to do with like directing them.
Yeah. You have to tell your kid who's.
Sorry.
I am the introduction to. Chobot will tell me the definition of the word chinuch.
20 pages.
Is that an intro? Is 20 pages?
Yeah.
I think that when we're on a date, we should discuss issues, not present these like riddle questions. And when we discuss them, we should try to give legitimacy to both sides, and give her the opportunity to say whatever she wants. Now, sometimes it happens that she says something that you're floored by. I went out with a girl once, She spent the first 20 minutes of a date telling me why she thinks it's terrible that girls marry guys who are learning. Who are learning, who continue learning in yeshiva. And I'm listening, okay.
It's not going to work.
I don't know that it's not going to work. Wait, so I'm thinking, gee, this doesn't match what I heard about her. We're walking, this was in Gan Soccer. And she tells me this, she tells me that, and this isn't right, and that isn't right, and they tell all the girls they should marry a guy who's learning, and you know how hard it is, and this. Okay. I hear, yeah, I'm sympathetic, I hear. Fine. She finished saying everything she had to say. I didn't want to react right away. Firstly, if you don't react right away, you could think. Have to think. Secondly, if you react right away, you're basically attacking what she said. Mm-hmm. Why should I attack what she said? She's entitled to have this opinion. Fine. I'm not coming to convince her. So I waited. We spoke about a few other things. And then I said, you know, I want to ask you something. I heard everything you said, and I respect it. I understand where you're coming from. But, you know, my goal is to continue learning. And how does that exactly fit? Like, I'm not following. I heard everything you said, but I'm not sure where all that fits. Like, you know, that's my goal. So she said, oh, yeah, I knew that. I said, so? So she said, all I was saying was that I think it's terribly wrong that they put in girls' minds that they all have to marry a guy who's learning, and a lot of the girls don't begin to know what it means and don't really want it and don't have the strength for it. And then they go out with guys thinking this is what they want, and after they're married, suddenly they discover, maybe that's not what I want. That's what I was saying, but I want it. That's exactly what I want. Okay, that's not what she said. She spent the first 20 minutes of the date talking the whole other way. So you could have, date I was on. So you could have at that point said, yeah, I don't think we match. You could have said that. But this is a rule you should learn. The more bewildering what someone says is, the more there's a chance that you misunderstood something. And don't attack. Take it calmly. Think. Nothing happened. We're going to be on the date. We could talk.
Anybody cold here? I'm going to heat it up. You cold? Use my jacket.
No, I'm not cold. I just like my hood over my head.
Really? You cold?
I don't know. It's 98 degrees.
That's good.
That's cold. I'm hearing you.
-5 is good.
The highest is 90.
Oh,
I
is not cold.
I don't know how to say lengths in dates.
Sorry?
I don't know how to tell you how long a date should be. Personally, I'm a big believer in long dates. I feel that everyone's playing a game. We're playing games. The girls are playing games. No one's themselves off the bat. And it takes people time to be comfortable with one another. So I believe that if you give a date 2-3 hours, you're only then starting to be natural with the other person.
Until they
even
turn
if
the
it's,
lights off on you, right?
Even if it's the second or the fifth date, even the tenth date. Bottom line, it takes us all time to warm up. And every date is, again, you're starting to warm up again. So I happen to like long dates. If the conversation isn't going at all, what can you do? I had a friend who dated a girl once a week, and each date was an hour and a half. And after like 2 months...
It started like 9:30, we're out.
No, I don't know. After like 2 months, he came to me and I said, you know, if you want to marry this girl, don't you think you should date more often and for a little bit longer? He said, no. I said, well, I do. So he didn't. So he didn't do it, and they married today. So there's no one formula. What works for you works. I can't tell you a formula. I happen to think there's what to be gained by a longer date. I would prefer having a 3-hour date than 2 1.5-hour dates. Personally, I feel that you get more, you move forward. But some girls don't have strength to sit so long.
Rob?
Yeah?
I was told by several rabbis, first date shouldn't be more than half hour.
That what?
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't hear you say that.
I don't know.
Many rabbis told me first date shouldn't be more than half hour.
So ask other people. I think so get a consensus, speak to other people. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would think first date should be around an hour and a half, 2 hours. That's what I would think. Mm-hmm. But being that you're saying there's a big contradiction in what I'm saying, what they're saying, maybe I'm wrong. Ask someone else.
No, I didn't ask. I'm saying
no, so I'm saying I don't know. This is what I say. But again, I'm on the extreme. I'd be a big believer in long dates. Mm-hmm. So could be I'm off. Ask someone. Get another opinion. I'll also try to get another opinion. One mistake that guys do very often, we'll discuss two mistakes. Number one is they walk. It becomes a marathon. You walk. And the poor girl, she's hopping and popping, and you keep walking. So don't do that to the girl. Find a bench, sit down. The second mistake that guys do is they say, do you want to sit down? So she says, nah, I'm okay. So they keep walking.
She really wants to sit down.
That's not how you ask the question. It's like, I'll do you the favor. Do you want
to sit down?
No. The question is, don't you think maybe we should sit down? If you ask that way, so she thinks, oh, he wants to sit down. So, fine, that's fine. You can sit down. You could also say, yeah, maybe we should sit down. Or find a way of saying it that's not like I'm doing you a favor. Maybe we should rest. Maybe not. Like, girls here in Israel are more confident. They'll tell you, no, we can continue. I had a girl that I felt she was working off weight. I had a girl who walked nonstop. Whoa. Yeah, I felt like she was doing a marathon. She just wanted to keep walking, and I kept saying, maybe we'll sit down. No, 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 it's okay.
And then that one point.
I was finished. No, and it was like pretty evident in the beginning. She wasn't interested. So like, I'm thinking, are you trying to make the most of this date? Like, why are you doing this to me?
Doing what?
Are you trying to what?
Make the most of the date.
Get a workout at the same time.
I don't know. Okay. But you guys don't do this to the girls. Offer them to sit down. Guys aren't as cold as girls. Girls are always more cold than guys. Almost always. I mean, some guys are colder, some girls are warmer, but girls are very often colder than guys. So don't count on dating gun soccer nowadays, even if it's a theoretically nice day in the winter. Bottom line, she's going to be chilly. You have to have a different place. And in gun soccer, by the way, there's nowhere around there that you could go inside. You have to walk a long time before you find a place. You could go to Tachna Mir Kazit, which is a good 15-minute walk. You could go to Shari Chesed, where there isn't much to go in. You don't have that many places to go from Gan Sakhar. So I'm not a big fan of Gan Sakhar.
My mom was staying with Renaissance.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
What?
My mom was staying in the Renaissance Hotel there. Everyone there should have fits. There's like 10 people there at night, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just, obviously you can buy coffee there without staying there.
Yeah, the Renaissance is a great hotel. Yeah,
yeah.
The Renaissance is great. The only problem with the Renaissance is that there are nights where they don't open up the middle tables, and then you're limited to the sofas all around, and those are usually taken up. I've come there and it was packed. The advantage of the Renaissance is that you have another two or three hotels right near there. I'm not sure, but between the three, I don't remember which was most expensive. I don't remember. There's a big difference. There's a few shekel difference for a cup of tea between those hotels there.
Between which ones?
The Renaissance.
The three that are right over
the
there.
The three, yeah. Three. No, it's okay.
Cool.
No, I'll give it to someone else. What do you want to ask?
I just had a question. I didn't know if this is obvious for everyone else, but if it's very cold outside and you're walking, you're sitting somewhere, luckily, and also it's new, is there an issue like offering your coat? Say, oh, you look very cold. You want my jacket?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
What can I tell you? I don't think, I don't know halachically. I don't know how to answer you halachically. I would recommend not entering that situation. You shouldn't be in a place where it's cold. If you are. So I could tell you one place that people recommend you to go is Gan Avradim, the Rose Garden, and the Beit Mishpat Elyon, the High Court. And for some reason, there are tremendous winds there. Don't go there in the winter. It's freezing. Even on a relatively calm day in the rest of Jerusalem over there, it's freezing. I don't know why.
You walk down at the tunnel, the split. When you enter, before you enter that tunnel, there's like a big wind.
Well, the Kotel.
I like you dating at the Kotel. I haven't liked that.
Yeah.
The Kotel, the Jewish quarter, I love dating there. I always felt, you know, if the date doesn't come out, at least I got a prayer in. Because you come to the Kotel.
For the next.
No, I mean, you come to the Kotel. No, the truth is that...
I'll see you later, I gotta go pray.
If you come to the Kotel, I think it's pretty understood that you're going to take a few minutes to pray there. Who's going to come to the Kotel and not pray? But I felt it was a nice atmosphere. What's nicer than walking in the old city? Like it was nice. I sometimes had trouble with Arabs around there on a date. But okay, nothing too terrible.
Is yours quarter?
Do you think it's yeah. Okay to ask if she prayed mincha or if it's night prayed arvid? Like,
why would you care?
No, because you would like. No, you would know if she how she felt about, you know, if she.
So why not discuss it? Halachically, you'll ask many rabbis today, and many rabbis teach girls that they have to pray at least 2 times a day. If you ask me, they don't have to. It's enough that they say Birchas HaTorah in the morning. Maybe they have to say some of the blessings in the morning. But I'm not for this prayer business for girls. Girls should pray. It's part of their soul. They have the advantage, like every Jew, that they could pray. But I don't understand why today they're telling girls they should be praying 2 times a day or 3 times a day. Yeah, there's a halachic basis to be more stringent, but you'll see when you get married how hectic life is and how little time women have, and to burden on them this feeling that if they don't pray 2 or 3 times a day, then they're not right, I'm not for it. If you feel like you want your wife to pray 3 times a day, I can't tell you anything. You're entitled to, it's your home, do whatever you want. But I would verify the halacha before you bring it up on a date. Mm-hmm. Like, make sure you know what you're talking about.
What else did she ask you that question?
So answer. Well, don't
Mara?
Answer. I don't know. Do whatever you want.
Okay, Mark, what's that?
Mark.
Again, what?
That was specifically for Rabbi Cook, that once they're married, they don't have to daven 2 times a day. They can just do their minimum, like, God, you're great. Help me out. Thanks.
Amen.
Fulfilled their obligation.
Okay. I don't know. Whoever told you that, that's what he yelled. Okay. Yeah.
Is it, I don't know if it's a question you want to answer right now, but is there a certain responsibility or minimum amount of Torah that is expected of a guy and a girl by the time they get married? What a husband should bring to the home as far as Torah goes? On a weekly basis, daily basis, ever.
Okay. I'll tell you what. That question deserves an answer. But I feel that question deserves an answer in the form of a shir. And what we're doing here, I don't think is a shir. I'm trying to be very careful not to speak to you about ideals. I'm trying to be very careful to be very practical. And not to make anyone fit into any mold. When we speak in Shir, so we speak about where we're aspiring to be. What we have to be. What are our obligations, where we could be more lenient, less lenient. What we're discussing here is whoever feels he's fit to date, how he's going to go about it. Now, feeling fit to date means with the tools he has and with the tools he doesn't yet have. To answer that question would mean to enter... go over to the realm of what am I really supposed to do? Halachically, ideologically, and I'm scared of doing that. I don't want to do that in this form, because I'm being very careful to try not to do that. I began the class by saying you could take anything I'm saying, put it in the garbage. The answer to that question, I don't think you could put it in the garbage. You don't have to accept my answer, but you have to have some basis to have a different answer. So I would rather not answer that now. Even though the truth is that part of the class should address that. But I feel like it's going to confuse the whole class. Because the class, I'm trying to be very careful to stick to the practical aspects of how to do it.
Makes sense.
Huh?
It's a related question. Is there any limit to like learning on a date?
Oh, so I didn't know if to talk about that or not. On the one hand, when you're marrying,
learning
Torah with a girl on a date. When you're going on a date, so you're looking for a wife, and a wife has many, many roles, and her main role is not to be your chavruta. Some guys want a wife who they could talk about certain topics and learning, so that's going to come up on the date. On the other hand, there are many people who are pro learning on a date. If you're going to learn, so I think you should be careful that shouldn't become like a crutch, like the focus of the date, like a way out of dealing with the fact, can us two communicate correctly? Can we actually enjoy being together? Sometimes it's a refuge. So you turn to the Sefer. I don't mind if it helps you get topics to discuss, but if it's going to be a situation where it's a refuge from, and I've seen that, where the Sefer becomes a refuge, and then married life, it's a refuge. So, okay, you could say good for them, they have a refuge. Maybe, okay. I don't know. You can't judge a married couple's life. You never know what's going on in a home. Even when they come to talk to you, you don't really know what's going on in a hole. I feel that if you're going to learn with a girl on a date, it has to be with the expressed goal of getting to know one another and bringing up topics and discussing them. You should know in general as a rule, if you're going to learn with a girl, then be prepared for a few things. A, I believe you should prepare the material before the date, or if it's your wife, before you sit down to learn with her. You don't want to sit down and open up a chumash and start reading the psukim and not know what you're talking about. I mean, this answers your question a little bit. A wife wants to feel to an extent that she has a husband who can learn, that who can teach her something, Torah-wise. You can't, but at least prepare, do the best you can. What to learn on a date, if you are going to learn, then, I don't know. People like to take things that'll bring them to topics. So I don't know. I don't have a specific recommendation. I don't have any recommendation to tell the truth. And girls have a tendency to ask two types of questions. One is to go off on tangents. You start on tangents. Girls go off on tangents. You try to learn with them as safer, and suddenly they're asking questions all out here. Don't get upset. If you're coming to learn with a girl, you have to be prepared that that's what's going to happen. Your wife, the girl you're dating, I don't care. If you're dating her, don't think you're going to get beyond the first line. Don't come there with I prepared 50 lines of this. So let's just read it. You got to come calm with the approach. We're schmoozing. I'm not learning. And prepare to go off topic 15 times. And the second thing that girls do when they learn is that they cut straight to the punch. So what's the bottom line? Is this mutter or us? What do you mean, what's the bottom line? We're going to see 15 opinions here. No, bottom line. Girls are very bottom line-ish. Like, give me, what do I get out of all this? So just be prepared for all that if you're going to learn on a date. There are many people who advocate it. I don't have an opinion on the matter. I don't know. For me, it never worked. But I'm a very, very male person. By nature. Like, when I learn, I can't stand talking about anything else. So that's the first thing that gets me really upset. What are you asking me about this and that and other thing? We're learning this. Let's understand what we're learning. So that's me. I can't do that. And also, when I learn, I don't like talking. We're learning. What are we talking about? So if I'm dating a girl, I'm coming to talk. So it never worked for me. People recommend it. That my personality doesn't work with. Buying a drink. So this brings us to the question of who pays. So you'd be surprised what happens today. Why should you pay? You know how many times girls get put up a fight? Okay, you pay this time, I'll pay next time. So let's ask ourselves, what's the idea behind paying for the drink? Why really should the guy pay for the drink? What happens when you marry a woman? So halachically, you're taking her into your care. You have mutual responsibilities, but bottom line, you're responsible for her. She's your wife. Even if you agree that you're going to learn for the next 20 years and she's going to try and work, etc., bottom line, when you sign the ksuba, what you're signing is that you're responsible for the house. You're the one responsible for the parnasa. I mean, you might have an agreement between you that she's going to be a very, very righteous woman and she wants you to learn or something else and she's going to work and try to support the family, but you're responsible for her. The halacha is that you take a woman into a chuppah, what does it mean? You're taking her into your home. She's coming into your home, what does that mean? I'm the boss, you're coming into my house, you better know who's boss here. That's not what it means. It means you're coming to my house and I'm responsible for you. I'm going to do everything it takes to take care of you. So if that's the idea between a husband and wife, that a husband is responsible to take care of her, she's also responsible to take care of him. She has her responsibilities. Then when we're going on a date, it sort of fits that he's going to buy her the drink. Now, to go and explain her all this, I'm not sure it's so fitting on a date. But I do think that you should try gently to insist on buying her the drink. If you see it's going to really like offend her, and what do you mean? I earn my money. You're in yeshiva. You barely earn a penny. Like one girl told me, after we get married, who's going to be the one earning the money? So I said, I would still think you'd want me to be the one buying you the drink. Okay. I would still think that you're going to want me to buy you the drink, not the reverse. But you know, it's not worth fighting over. It'll give you a picture of who she is, and certain girls really don't understand. Why should you buy me a drink? Like one girl told me, you're not earning money now, so where are you going to have all this money from? Why should you spend money when I'm earning money? I feel bad taking a guy who's learning Torah. I feel bad taking a penny from him. I'm not comfortable you should buy me the drink. So sometimes it comes from a good place that a girl doesn't want you to buy the drink. Not because she's a feminist, but rather because she really doesn't feel comfortable you're buying her a drink. So I think you should try and insist, but I don't think you should fight over it. And we said you have to accompany her back to the bus stop. What's a common mistake that people do? They accompany her back to the bus stop, and they get to the bus stop, and then they start talking about, when will I call you to set up another date? Yeah, no, and then her bus comes. Normal conversation, and she's in a tough spot now. If she hops on her bus, then they didn't conclude the date. If she doesn't hop on her bus, then she's going to have to wait another 25 minutes for the bus, and she might be detaining you another 25 minutes. So, chacham enav birosho, wise person thinks ahead, don't wait till you're by the bus stop. 5 minutes before you're by the bus stop, when you start heading for the bus stop, tell her, you know what, we're on our way back to the bus stop. When would be a good time for me to call you tomorrow? Tomorrow. Yeah, you heard that word, everyone? Tomorrow. This is the point that shows up most often. Guys do not call the girl the following day. Some guys never call the girl. Well, I don't want to tell her no.
How do you tell her no if you don't want
to... We'll get that. Wait. You can't jump. 1 second.
So when you tell her, when do I call you tomorrow?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Tell her, I'm going to call you tomorrow. One of the worst things for a girl is to be left hanging in limbo. That's the biggest complaint we get. The guy's never cool. So before you hit the bus stop, ask her, when's a good time for me to call you tomorrow? Now, if you want to do the girl a big favor, and you want to be a very, very nice guy, then on the date, you could tell her, you know, I really had a good time. I'd love to take you out again. I'd love it if we could go out again. Don't expect her to tell you, I'd like to go out again too. Girls don't do that. The best she'll say is, yeah, it was really nice. So some girls are confident. Some girls, I know a girl who told the guy, she said, this was really nice. I'd like to go out again. What do you say? But on the date, she had him close the second date. It's okay. She told him, I had a really nice time. I think we should get married. What do you say? Wow. They're married today.
I've heard people that gone on,
not the first date. No.
On one date.
Who's running the house?
Who's what?
Who's running the house?
But most girls, even on the 10th date, if you tell them, I want another date, don't put them on the spot. Tell them, when can I call you? But
never.
What, by telling her, I'm interested in another date, what are you doing? You're signaling to her, I had a really good time, and you're also allowing her to go home that night and sleep peacefully. She knows, gee, he likes me.
Oh,
it's going good.
Tomorrow, okay.
Now, the only, what's the drawback in this? If you're not confident that you want to continue with her, or if you think you want to continue with her, but you don't want her to get all excited, by saying that, you're sending her a signal, gee, this was really, really good. If you're not sure it was so good, so then don't give her that signal. You could say, yeah, I had a really nice time. When can I call you tomorrow?
But
yeah.
Does it come off forward saying, you know, at the end of the date, and like, I mean, is it forward saying, hey, you know, when can I call you tomorrow? Instead of saying, like, I don't know.
Maybe you'll call her tomorrow to tell her you're not interested in continuing. You're not telling her you're calling her.
I guess I'm assuming that the president, if you're saying you want to call tomorrow, that you're going to continue.
Not necessarily, no. You might be calling her. When you call her tomorrow, you're going to tell her, I had a really nice time. I'd very much like to continue. Would you like to continue? And she'll tell you either yes or no. That's the next conversation. But if you want to give her that sign and if you want to make her feel good, then do that. When you're dating girls above 22, which most of you most often will be doing, then especially if they're from a frum background, it means they've been dating for a while. So take into account that if a girl's been dating for a while, then she's already tired of guys. And the first date she doesn't put too much effort into, because she's had so many guys tell her no after her first date, it's not worth putting much into it. So I always tell guys, when you hit a girl like that, that you see she's like, she doesn't feel like putting anything into it. So don't say no. Take into account the poor girl's heard no from hundreds of guys after the first date, and hundreds of guys before the first date. So what you do is keep it short, make it a short date, and at the end of the date tell her, I really enjoyed getting to know you, I'd very much like for us to continue, I'll call you tomorrow, you'll tell me if you want to continue. What are you doing there? You're giving her confidence in the contact between you. And then the next date is date number one. I always tell guys, don't count date number one. The second you see a girl comes to a date like that, don't count that as date number one. Say, this is the introduction. This is, in your mind, tell yourself, she's not open. We can't have a real date now. So tell yourself, I just have to put her at ease that I'm not a guy that's going to dump her for nothing after one date. So make it a short date and tell her, give her confidence in the connection.
This is if you think that it's not going to work?
No, if you think it might work, just she's not into it. Sometimes you show up to a date and you see the girl. She's like
another
guy, and he's going to tell me no after this date. Why should I put my guts into it?
So you make it short and then...
So I'm saying, and give her confidence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it always good to have more than one date with one girl?
So
the first impression might be the wrong or whatever.
We'll get that in a second. Okay? We're on the first date. We're towards the end of the first date. You see that you two don't match. I'm a big believer in the approach that two people got together and they're sitting together for an evening. It might as well be a pleasant evening. You will get married to another. You won't get married to another. You do agree. You don't agree. Bottom line, you should end pleasantly, and it should all be pleasant. There's no reason not to enjoy the time together. You're going to sit here for an hour and a half, 2 hours, half hour, according to your rabbi, whatever it is. Let it be pleasant.
No, not my time. Rabbi. This is the rabbi that set me up.
Okay. maybe he has more experience than me. I'm not telling you to discard what I'm saying. I'm telling you, check it out.
You're my rabbi.
Yeah, but check it out. I'm telling you, on this point, I don't have enough experience. Check it out. Be careful not to hurt her feelings. And remember that girls get hurt more easily than guys. Be very careful not to hurt her feelings.
Oh, don't hurt her feelings.
Okay. You've accompanied her to the bus stop. Some girls tell you, don't wait. If it's the late afternoon or the early evening, there are other people by the bus stop. I don't think you have to stick around and wait. I think it's nice if you do. But she might be like pressing to do a bunch of things. I haven't said a girl said, you don't have to wait. I said, no, I'll wait till the bus comes. She said, no, you really don't have to wait. So I thought she was saying it like out of politeness. I said, no, I don't mind. So she said, no, I'm not really going on the bus. I'm going to do shopping and 100 other things. It's okay. So okay, fine. I didn't mean to put her in a bad spot, but like be smarter than I was. Take a hint. She says, no. I don't know if the first no you should listen to, but definitely the second no. You finished the date, you told her goodbye, now what? So you think, and like we had a very good pointer here, you should think a few times before you say no after a first date, because a first date very often doesn't reflect the person. If you see things that it's clear it's not for you, okay, so you'll have to say no, and we'll discuss how you say no, but if there's room then it might be yes, so try to see if maybe this does match. Try to think if the things that you think you don't match on, you understood her correctly on. Sometimes, many times, very often, there are misunderstandings. I always tell guys to think, when they were trying to verify about a yeshiva, what did people tell them? So they said, in this yeshiva, they learn well. What does that mean, they learn well? Well, they learn a lot of time. What does it mean they learn a lot of time? The guys are very serious. What does it mean they're very serious? So people use all kinds of terms, and you have to try to figure out between all the terms they use, what do they mean to say about this place? The same thing is true when you're sitting and trying to describe anything to someone else. You have a very limited vocabulary in which you have to describe different things. You have to use the same words, more or less, or sharper or softer, to describe something which could be very different, could be more or less. You're talking to a girl about things, so not only is she a different person using a different vernacular, she's a girl. Boys and girls talk a different language.
She's
so,
a girl?
Ooh.
Hope so. So take into account that there could very well be misunderstandings. And I would take anything that you're not sure about and write it down or remember it and give it time. See what it means. What did she mean by that? You could bring it up afterwards. Again, not attacking her. Bring it up and tell her, you know, I thought about what you said. You mentioned this and this and this, and I wasn't sure what you meant by that. on the other hand, we just said you have to think about it, and it's good to think about it right after the date when things are fresh in your mind. It's very common that guys after a date, they can't learn. come back to yeshiva, they can't attend a single class. They're all day they're thinking about, well, did she say this? Did she say that? Should I? Shouldn't I? Don't do that. You have to be more mature than that. You have to focus and... you could consult with your parents. It happens to everyone that you want to think about it a lot. So
you're saying just to forget about it?
I didn't say to forget about
it.
I said
to call her and then you start thinking about forgetting it.
I said you should think about it right after the date. And then afterwards, if you think you need to think about it, so like you should do always in life, partition time. You're in the middle of learning and you see you can't focus. So either tell yourself, I'm going to focus now and later I'll think about whether to continue with her or not. Or tell yourself, I see I can't do that, so I'm going to take a 5-minute break where I'm not going to learn. All I'm going to do is think about it. And maybe I'll summarize it in writing for myself what I'm thinking about. And after that, I'm going to go back to my learning. I can't spend all day thinking, yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah, no. It's not going to work. A pointer. Sometimes guys are thinking, did she say this? Did she mean that? And when guys are in yeshiva, so who's going to say anything if you don't show up to this class? And what's going to be so you won't show up to that chavrusa? So then they end up calling her, which is a big no. I don't believe in spending a lot of time on the phone. But even if you're already dated 15 times and it's going good, don't be a pain in the neck. Like guys could, because they're in yeshiva, there's a greater tendency, like you could pick up the phone whenever you want. So you call her, and then you call her again, and then you call her again. And what do you mean by that? And you know, I thought about, that's not life. Don't do this. You talk when you have to talk, you set up what you have to set up, leave the talking for the dates. Don't be calling her 3-4 times a day. You're holding where you're near engagement and
even
whatever.
When married,
what?
even when
you're married,
hi, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What
even when you're married, yeah.
Yeah, don't do it. That's too much.
Right. There are people who you can't really figure out who they are after one day. Many people are. It takes time to figure out who they are. Give it time. Don't forget that. By saying no, you're saying no for life. That's it. It's over. Goodbye. Have a good life. That's what you're saying by no. When you're saying yes, all you're saying is, I need another date. I don't know yet if we match. So you have to be far more confident to say no than you are to yes. On the other hand, the guy could go and date a girl 40 times because, well, I wasn't 100% sure no, so I figured one more date. Okay, I'm still not 100% sure, so one more date. Okay, everything's with a limit. Now you have to call her. So you're calling her the following day, and you have to tell her if you're interested in a second date or not.